So this week we sit with the gorgeous Rosamund.
Like Prince.
Just Rosamund. I love that she's just Rosamund. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners know who Rosamund is, but she is a presenter, an MC. She owns her own luxury consultancy. She is an influencer. She's everything. She's Rosamund.
Yeah, she really is. Like, there's pretty much nothing that she has done so far that didn't work out. Yeah. She's done a great job at everything she's put her mind to. And on top of that, she's extremely sociable, super friendly, and drop-dead gorgeous.
Yes.
So it was a real pleasure, you know,
to sit with her and hear her story.
Yeah.
And learn a lot, you know. I like that she's dipped her hand into a lot of things growing up. And now, as her career shows, she's doing wonderfully in all of it. And I think this is an episode that's super fun to listen to. And I hope you guys enjoy it.
This is Candid
with Hanine and Zara.
All right, so we're here with the gorgeous Rosamund.
Thank you.
We're so excited to finally have you on the podcast. And we're going to start off with a question that we ask everyone, which is, tell us about yourself in 30 seconds.
Oh my God, was that 30 seconds? First of all, I'm so glad to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I know we've been like trying to pin this down, but I'm so happy to be here. And a big shout out, if this is going out in October, that it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So
yes,
girls, get checked.
She's wearing pink.
Yes. I'm wearing pink for today.
She's very committed.
I'm very committed, but also, you know, it's just a really good reminder this month that everyone should just get checked.
I agree.
So that's my big shout out to that cause, because my mom had it and I just really am passionate about this month and so many incredible clinics. Actually, whoever's listening across the UAE have like really reduced their prices for like mammograms and ultrasound, so please go out there.
I love that. I'm so glad you started with that.
No, because I just think it's really important, and we're all girls, and it's just a topic conversation that sometimes we just don't want to deal with.
So
it's just a really good reminder. So let's start off with that.
Yes. Awesome.
And in 30 seconds, what do you say? That's crazy. I've been in the UAE for over 14 years. I grew up between Toronto and London, the UK. And my background has kind of always been in luxury. And I think I've had this kind of that key phrase, passion for fashion, since I was a little kid. So I have all these kind of crazy stories. But, when I turned 40 last year, it was actually a really good reflection point. For me personally, I actually had to stop and reflect on my life. And it was actually a great point to look back and see, how did you get to where you are?
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes, you know, people say it's sliding doors or, you know, different paths or decisions you make. But I really truly believe that everything you go through, so all your experiences, your highs and lows, those failures, whatever it is, those decisions lead you to where you are today. So I say this to everyone, is just be present. You know, be present, take it in, enjoy the moment that you're in. Like, I'm so excited to be with you girls today. Like, take it all in, because you just don't know where things lead you and those memories or those moments.
Amazing.
That's,
I like that.
I like it. She starts off with a bang.
I know.
Leave it to Rosamund. I love it. So tell us about what you're doing now, because I know you wear like a million hats, very successful ones, but we want to know what you do exactly.
So when I first moved to Dubai, so my background is fashion. It's I worked with Gucci Group and Tom Ford for 5 years, and I did a little stint at Dior and Juicy. And so I have a quite big CV when it comes to the fashion industry. But when I did move to Dubai, as you know, I opened the first luxury PR showroom in the Middle East, which was such an exciting time. And we got a lot of attention because obviously there was no Dubai Mall and all these head offices hadn't opened up here. And in parallel, while I'd opened this business, because it happened very organically and it wasn't something that I knew how to be a businesswoman, I kind of had to learn on the go and build the team, but things were happening in parallel. So what was happening in parallel was I got a TV show on Dubai One, I was setting up Harper's Bazaar, I had this company going, and as soon as kind of the head offices started opening, I decided, well, everything was going in-house, but what I did keep was R&Co bespoke luxury management, which I still do. And what we do today is we do consumer experiences. So we still work with all the leading brands that you see down Fashion Avenue. And we don't do the press side. So what we do is really that consumer experience. So we might organize a trip for a designer, but we really introduce them to, because I work in the luxury space, so I introduce them to high net worth consumers and making sure that high net worth consumer either learns about the brand in an intimate setting or is essentially rewarded for spending that much, but really kind of doing those connections. So we don't, like a lot of the stuff we do, I can't really post about it or anything like that, but that's like a large chunk of the business that we do. And then the second part, which is another company I have, which is Roseman Inc., which kind of all that other stuff like brand ambassador roles and presenting and emceeing and all that kind of goes through another part of the business. So, yeah.
Oh, how exciting.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's such a smart kind of business route that you're taking. And I think after what's happened with 2020 and people not being able to travel, and brands have realized where the strong markets are when it comes to sales, and having that person connecting the right type of consumer to the brand is exactly what they need. And that's where you do it so perfectly.
No, thank you. And so we really spend time curating that database. Mm. And so for us, it's not about filling up a room. It's really filling up the room with the right kind of energy and interest of women who love, whether it's jewelry or fashion or beauty. So that's one part of the business. Now, the reason I mentioned, you know, what I was doing in parallel when I first started, like when it was Harper's, because I was hosting all the readers events and I had a show called Bizarre Beauty. And obviously I had the show on Dubai One as well, called Studio One in Hersey. It was just interesting because now that I am, you know, filming or I'm on stage so much, I just feel like all those years of experience has led me to what I'm doing today. And it does give me that confidence to get on stage and know how to prepare and know how to do a live show, you know, regardless how many people are in the room.
Yeah, that's great. And did you think at any point that you would be pivoting in that direction?
So I do come from a background of performers. My brother's an actor and a screenwriter and a host. So he's actually quite well known in Canada, and he's based out in LA right now. So I didn't have it naturally like he did. Like, he can just literally go on and.
So you're telling me what you're doing now, you don't have it naturally?
No, I don't.
My jaw just dropped. I'm like, if this is not natural.
I really don't have it. No, I don't have it naturally. Like, I really credit him all the time. I'm lucky that he is my brother and he takes my call when I'm practicing, but he will literally stay up with me and he'll be like, okay, Roseman, this is how you know, he taught me how to breathe. And so I actually spent time with like a singing teacher who was essentially teaching me how to breathe, because once I started having control of my breath work, when I went on stage, my voice was, you know, at a certain level. It didn't go high. I just learned so much. And those techniques he taught me, he had a show in Canada called Star Daily, which is like the equivalent of Access Hollywood, like Entertainment Tonight. And when he was on that show and I was doing Dubai One, the minute I flew to Toronto, he's like, Roseman, you're coming in the studio. I'm going to teach you how to read a teleprompter. I'm going to teach you how to control your words so you fit into that time frame. So I feel super grateful. Like, I had him as kind of a trainer. So yeah, without him, yeah, I'm lucky.
So I kind of want to go back a little bit and talk about how you started your journey in this field. So like, as a little girl, you said you always loved fashion and you were attracted to that industry. So how did you start? What were your steps?
So, you know, I really look back into seeing where my parents came from. So my parents were immigrants out of East Africa. They were expelled from Idi Amin. They literally packed up. My mom was a teacher. You know, my dad was in accounting and property, and he was actually in the UK while my mom had my sister in Africa. So they were kind of just building their life, and he was kind of commuting back and forth. When they got kicked out, and they ended up choosing Canada as home, because my dad had such a big family, the majority of them settled in Canada. They were starting again. And I think when you see your parents build, and you don't realize, when you're a kid, you just think, oh, that's just my parents. But when you get older, you're like, wow, that's a lot of work to restart your life in a new country. Like, it's crazy, you know? And so I look back and I'm like, okay, well, that's where my work ethic comes from, because my parents never worked 9 to 5. So that was like the first thing that I started realizing when I did my kind of reflection moment at 40. And so I started realizing that. My dad owned a kind of a convenience store in this in London, Ontario, where I was born. And we had all the fashion magazines. We had a whole international section of, you know, this is in the 80s. And so my sister was 11 years older than me. And so to me, she, and still today, I mean, she's just gorgeous. Like, she is my, like, I just look up to her so much. She's stunning. She's a great mom, a great daughter. But she just had a great flair for fashion. And so she was one of the first Indian models out in Canada because she was tall. She was like, she's almost 5'7.5", 5'8", whatever. And so she would have those magazines, Vogue, W, Town and Country. And I didn't want to, I wanted to be like my sister, right? Like, I didn't want to read like these fairy tale books. But the minute I started opening W and Vogue, I just fell in love with like the photography and the fashion and the dream, you know, like I just, that's what was exciting to me. And I started hiding copies in the back of my sister's closet just so I could keep them. And I think that was kind of my first kind of excitement for beauty and fashion and styling. And then, you know, as things progressed, like my parents would buy me dolls, like most girls get, I would just rip up the clothes and beg my mom to take me to Fabricland, which is like a fabric store. And I would buy dresses, and my mom taught me how to sew, and then she bought me a sewing machine, and like I started making clothes for these dolls. Then going forward, like I still, you know, you still love fashion. And then going forward, when I was in high school in London, Ontario, it's like a small town, so they had an annual fashion show, and they would support local retailers in the city. And I asked the organizer, I was like, listen, can I design my first collection? And I got the prettiest girls for like all the cheerleaders to like, you know, wear my collection. But it was funny because what I realized is that I hated pattern cutting. I hated sewing. But what I loved was I loved the styling. I loved putting the collection together. I loved putting the music. Like the power of all of those elements coming together, that's what excited me. And then again, like I still started pursuing it slowly. I took a course at the Academy of Art and Design in Toronto, which was a summer program. And I really recommend this to students because if you can find these internships or short courses, it gives you a taster of what the industry is because, you know, the industry is like a $4 trillion industry. Mm-hmm. And I think growing up, I'm sure you guys can attest to this, is that when you think of fashion, you think that's design, right? You don't realize that there's a huge supply chain of logistics and merchandising and buyers and design and like it's a huge industry. And so you might have a skill set and you'll fit into that industry. It doesn't mean you have to be like the creative director, but there's a lot of things you can do to be a part of the fashion world. And so I did this course and it gave me like an insight into window dressing and gave me an insight into like buying and all these things. And then every summer I was just as much as I could work, I was working in stores just to see what I loved. And I kept coming back to beauty and fashion. Which then led me to going to applying to FIT. So I got accepted. I sent my portfolio to FIT in New York. And my sister had just come back from London. And she goes, you know, there's a school called London College of Fashion, which is now called University of Arts. And she goes, I was just there. And like they launched this program called Fashion Management. And it's the exact same as the one in FIT. And my sister, you know, and when you grew up in like Toronto and London, Ontario, like New York is like your pond. Like, you know, you go there all the time, right? So I just always thought I'd live in New York. My sister's like, let's just go. They're launching their second set. It was they did the first graduating class. She goes, they're interviewing for the second one. She goes, why don't you go do 3 years in London and come back? And I was like, yeah, let's go. So I applied, sent my portfolio in. I get invited to the interview. I do the interview. It's only 50 students got chosen. So it's two groups of 25. And I got accepted. And I literally just... My dad had to deal with getting the deposit back from FIT, and I was like, see ya, I'm going to London. And honestly, I didn't really organize London because it was three times the dollar. The pound was three times. It was so expensive back then. And my mom was working. She was, like, amazing. She, like, literally put me through school. And but the thing is, when I got to London, because my mindset was, I'm going to New York, like, I'm not staying in London, my mindset was, I am going to work and be a sponge. Like, so I'm still going to party with my friends and do my work and all of that, but I'm going to experience everything the city has to offer. So weekends were museums, weekends were galleries. I was working a short time, like Prada on Sloane Street for extra money. I loved art, so I was doing an internship at Sotheby's. Like, over this course of these 3 years, I did an internship at Sotheby's. I worked at Blaine's Fine Art under Harry Blaine, and I learned about contemporary art. Like, as much as I was a receptionist on Saturdays picking up the phone, And whatever money I got, I was spending it at Tramp on the weekend. Like, I was so irresponsible. But, like, he was teaching me about art. Like, he was like, Rosamund, this is the artist, and I'm going to show you, why this painting costs so much money. And I'm so grateful to him today. And so when I do see him, I always say thank you, because I genuinely have a passion for art, and I wouldn't have been exposed to that without him. And I did an internship at Burberry's, I actually worked at Burberry as a, assistant buyer. So I was, serving coffees, and then I ended up being a model for the Asian market because I was, super skinny back then. And, and then through that, I got this opportunity to be at Gucci as a intern in the press office, which then led me to working with Tom Ford and being headhunted by my second year. So all these things happened, but I look back and I'm like, the difference between me graduating and my other friends was because I thought I only had 3 years there and I was going to make the most of it. I saw how hard my parents were working, and I was still kind of subsidized because I was too scared to ask them for extra money. So I was working on the weekends, and I just made the most of it. And so when I graduated, I did have the job with Tom Ford, but my CV was full.
Yeah. Because you just grabbed at every opportunity.
Every opportunity, yeah. And some of them were 2 week internships, other ones were longer, but I just went in to just learn.
Yeah, which I think is very important for students or, not even students. If you're an adult and you want to change industries, mm-hmm. I think that's also a good step to take, which is just take everything that comes your way and try to absorb and learn.
And I think it's really important. You just said that as an adult. I think a lot of women feel that because they started in one industry, they are stuck, and they're not. At a certain point, you can start living your passion and finding out where your passion is and just dabbling into that. You can be an amazing baker on the weekend, and you might not want to give up everything just yet for baking, but still do it on the weekends, your free times, and have this extra income coming in. And, when you're ready and that moment's right, you can actually have that confidence to be like, okay, I'm opening that bakery, And so I think women often get scared to make that leap.
Mm. Yeah.
I like that you did everything you could get your hands on, and I think we always forget that just because you're answering phones doesn't mean you're not working towards your goal, because that's preparing you for example customer service if you're coming out with a brand. So I love that, and I think that's something that really the new generation are missing out on, where they're like, well, it doesn't have anything to do with this, or their egos or anything like that stops them from learning. And I think being a sponge is the best thing to do. I remember I always used to think that I used to do that too. I'm always learning. Like right now I'm writing down notes of things you're saying because I'm learning from you as well. And I always thought, oh no, it's that saying that, jack of all trades and master of none and stuff. But I think being the jack of all trades actually helps in everything that I do, because we're not just doing one role now, we're doing everything,
I mean, you started your business recently, and that's a plunge in itself, right? Mm. To have that responsibility of overheads and staff and trade license, and the bills don't stop. And I think people forget that. The biggest lesson I learned even to this day is learning about personal finance and how to budget yourself. And if you can't do it, hire someone to help you. Yeah. Because I don't know about you, but for me, when I set up the business, it was such a shock to the system. I was oh, these bills. Every time I was excited, I'd get a client or a retainer. And I'm like, oh, and it's going up.
Why do I need to pay rent? What is rent? Why is this a thing?
I keep telling my husband, I'm like, should we go live with my parents for a while? I think that would be a good idea, because then that's rent that we don't have to pay bills. We don't have to pay, but
But I think as women, we also have a disadvantage, is that we're not taught about personal finance or money management in any way. I've met a couple of people who were taught by their parents, but that's it. Unless you majored in finance, it took you all the way to adulthood and independence to start learning how to manage your money or how to create income or how to do savings or investing. Right now I'm seeing a lot more women go into investing in the stock market or in crypto or whatever. And I like that. I like that it's, investment has become a more democratic thing to do. But I think it's very important, especially for, I think Gen Z has it better than us, because, I know we all laugh about TikTok, but actually it has a lot of good tips, and they're teaching them at such a young age to put money aside or invest in this or save or make budgeting plans. And I think this is something we didn't have.
No.
So it's really important. And I think I like what you're saying, is that, especially as business owners, and now that business is not as rigid as it used to be. You don't have to have an office with 20 employees. Yeah. you don't have to have a reception. You can do everything on your laptop and you're still a company.
Yeah.
So, you know, making budgets is really difficult and it's really something that you have to kind of...
You have to learn, and you have to be very disciplined, and you have to put yourself in check. And so if you can't do that, I always say have someone there who can put you in check.
Yeah. So tell us about your, because you work very closely with Harper's Bazaar, and I know a lot of listeners, when it comes to fashion magazines, they just want to know everything. So tell us how you started with Harper's and how that relationship is going.
Also, was it like the Devil Wears Prada?
No, not at all. No, Harper's Bazaar is so they have their you know they're the largest and longest running women's fashion magazine in the world, and so they launched Harper's Bazaar Arabia here, which was really exciting. And by the first year they launched, they invited me to come on board, but I already had started the company, and so I came on as a consultant. And the first thing we launched together was the best dress list, which was just kind of celebrating style. And I think it was such a great time because Dubai is so diverse with so many nationalities, and that's what initially we really wanted to highlight. And then as the magazine progressed, we started highlighting different age groups, because that's, again, what the magazine's core value system is like being, you know, fashionable at every age. And so we started kind of building the brand out. And so I've always just kind of been an external consultant for them, but I've been kind of there the longest. I think I've been there for 13 years. And I do most of their reader events, and it's just great. We did a show called Bazaar Beauty, which was highlighting the beauty segment, and it's actually a great segment. I know all of us are in it. So it's such an exciting segment to be in, beauty and skincare, especially now. And so, yeah, it's such a great, it's so nice meeting the readers. I think, you know, so many of us we're lucky that we get access to previews and products and we get to review things. But, you know, when you meet a reader who is just so excited to not only meet you, but who genuinely buys the magazine every month, that's actually my favorite moment. So I love doing readers events. And of course, this week we have World of Fashion in partnership with Mall of Emirates. And it's actually one of my favorite events because the people that come are genuinely people that really just love fashion and are excited to see products come to life because they just see it in a magazine. They don't get to touch and feel it.
Yeah, wow, that's great. Yeah, I understand what you mean, being that I was one of those readers that would buy a magazine and read it front to cover, like front to cover.
Oh my God, the September issue was like, we waited all summer for the September issue.
But remember back in the day, it was really tough getting magazines here.
And expensive.
And it was so expensive.
So expensive. Oh. And that's when I turned to the internet and then the whole blogging thing started. So it's just a little reminiscing there.
Yeah. No, but I just came back. Yeah, exactly. No, I came back from New York and I think I raided that Replay store. I love magazines. That was my pleasure on the plane, is just to read everything and touch and feel the pages. So I still love a good magazine.
I think I have something 12 boxes in storage that are just magazines I've collected over the years, and I don't have the heart to part with them. And it's taking up so much valuable space, but I don't know what to do with that. I can't throw them.
Yeah, exactly.
Some of them are, you know, from 2001 and 2002. They're, now vintage.
I can't believe 2001.
I know. When I said it, I was like, oh, this is so depressing. But magazines, we all grew up thinking that this world was so glamorous and so amazing and so unattainable. But you know what they say about fashion? You know, it's a cliche, but they always say it's not what you know, it's who you know. So what is the importance of networking for you? Because you do rely on that with parts of your business.
Yeah.
So, you know, someone from outside the industry or someone who's just starting out or someone young, what's your advice? How do you network? What's your take on this? How important is it?
So I think networking is important, but I think it's across any industry, to be honest. I think it's really important to be around your peers and industries of interest. And so it's across the board. It's not really just in fashion. I think in any industry you're in. And I think what's great about Dubai is it's such a transient city. And so you have people from so many diverse backgrounds, whether it's established businesses or startups. And so you can attend so many talks, whether it's at everything from, I guess, the World of Fashion, for example, where you can actually meet the editors and meet us, or, you know, something at a Capital Club where they have so many different talks and lectures from so many different industries. And some of them you might have to pay access to, but I think it's such a great opportunity to just get in the door. Networking is important. It is a skill set.
So, like, were you always this confident walking to a room not knowing anyone and kind of starting a conversation? Because for me, it's nerve-wracking.
Yes.
Like, I still have anxiety. I still have to text Zahra before every event going, are you going today? Just so I know whether I need that extra confidence to walk into a room full of strangers. Were you always this confident, or is this something you kind of cultivated?
I think you cultivate it for sure. And I think, again, practice makes perfect, especially when you are walking into a room. But it's nice to come in with a girlfriend and walk in a room. That's always a good escape to get out. You have someone with you. I think any of these skill sets are practice makes perfect. But yeah, you do have to go out there and you have to build that confidence to walk in a room and introduce yourself. And whether you are starting a blog or you have like a startup business, is, you know, you have to go there and be able to start the conversation.
And I mean, you're like the networking queen, I feel. You know everyone. We went out for lunch with Rosamund, and like literally, it was like, 10 steps to the table, and she said hi to every single person at the place. So I love that you do that, and I love that you're like the epitome of, you know, I don't want to call you a socialite because I feel like you're so much more than
I
that.
I hope so.
Yeah, you're much, much more than that. But do you ever have your off days where you're like, oh, I just don't want to see anyone. I don't want to do anything. And like, how do you deal with that?
I think, well, first of all, we went to arts club, which is like, you kind of know everyone being in a club like that. But I think on an off day, you'll see me at home. I'm very happy with my cat at home.
Yeah.
And like chilling and my track pants and catching up with Netflix. Like,
so you're good at the whole balancing thing?
I love it. Okay. I love That's being good. At home. Yeah, I love being at home. And I think one of the best gifts I gave to myself was I literally redid my home. And it was the best decision I made, because I think when you fall in love with your home, it's your sanctuary. Mm-hmm. I think if you're in a place that's a house, which is like just a function of sleeping and changing, you just genuinely want to be out all the time. And I think when you create a home for yourself, it is a place where you just enjoy being. And I think that's the best investment.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, I think also when you're alone at home, it could be a beautiful sanctuary or you could feel very lonely. So it's, you know, it's kind of up to you to...
That's why you get a cat.
Cat? I was just going to say that. I was like, I love my cat.
That's why you have dogs.
I am so lonely that I have three cats. So
you're turning into that lady.
No, I'm married. I can't be that lady.
You're both that lady.
But yeah, I think having that companion, that fur companion, really helps.
Oh, he's so cute. Our cats are cute.
Yeah, we're always sending like little emojis. Yeah. Every time she posts about her cat, I'm like, yes. And she does the same with mine.
Oh my God, cute. Cat people. Yeah. How many cat people have we had on the podcast? Most people have been cat people.
Yes. Oh, really?
Yeah. Because next guest has to be a dog person. Yeah. I'm sorry. I need the balance.
It's a prerequisite if you want to come on the show. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about personal life.
Yeah.
So one of the conversations I relate to most was, remember when we were at the perfume event and we were talking about the love languages, and I had never heard of it before. Yes. And Rosamund was like, no, you have to read the book.
Oh, everyone has
and
to read
I went,
that book.
And I went back home and I kind of, you know, downloaded on Kindle and I started reading the book and I'm like, oh my God, how did I never know about this? And it makes so much sense because the conflict between you and other people is resolved once you know what they expect.
Yes.
So What has that taught you in your life? How did you get to the point where you try to understand how the other person feels or how the other person, what they need from you?
So I think for relationships across the board, so it's not even about your partner, it's literally your mother, your sister, like anyone kind of important in your life. Once you start understanding their love language, things just fall into place. Because I think a lot of this, and this is what I realized, is that because I was based in, you know, London and then Dubai, my parents were in Canada, my brother's in LA, and my sister and, you know, her family are in Toronto as well. And so whenever I'd go to Toronto, I would literally compensate indirectly, right? Because I love giving gifts. So for me, like, if I see something, I'll, like, buy it for my sister or my brother, and I, like, buy it, I ship it. Or when I come to Toronto, I have a whole suitcase full of gifts. And that's my love language. Like, I love giving. For them, they didn't care about the latest lipstick or a pair of shoes or whatever I was buying for them, like dresses or whatever it was. They were just like, we want your time. Mm. Like, we just want to sit with you all day and have lunch and hang out in the garden. And it was the one thing I just didn't have, because I would fly home and I was there for a week or 10 days or whatever it was. Or if I was, you know, working in the States, I'd always make a point to like hop in for the weekend and then fly back. And I was always going in and out, and I just realized they were getting frustrated because they're like, we don't need the gifts. Like, we don't want the gifts. Like, we love them. It's great, you know, but we want your time. And it was this constant battle, and I didn't understand it until I read the book, and I was like, oh, that makes sense. Like, they just want to just sit and laugh and talk about stories or have a cup of tea and whatever it is. And it was just, they wanted time. And it was the one thing that I just had so much responsibility here that I couldn't just take off a month, you know, to do that. And it was funny because I know before we started the podcast, it was the one thing I did. Yeah. I actually, when I was ready to go back to Toronto, I literally just packed up my suitcase and I went for a month and a half, and we celebrated my mom's 80th. My brother had a project in the film festival. I spent the first 2 weeks literally just hanging out in the garden with whatever my mom wanted to do. And that was like sitting in the garden, having a cup of tea, talking, reminiscing, whatever. And it was actually the best time. Mm. It wasn't about being on. It wasn't about, like, no one cares about whatever accomplishments or goals, whatever. They just wanted to be with me.
Yeah.
And it was actually amazing because when I left, you know, I went to New York for a little bit, and we both were just happy. Like, I could just see they were content because we just spent quality time together. And so, to me, the languages of love are so important, and people get caught up that it's for a partner, but it's not. It's for all the kind of relevant, important people in your mm-hmm. sphere. So it's a great book to have, and it's a great, they have like an online quiz. You can actually have your partner do the quiz and just to understand what each other wants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you'll see once you have that, like, relationships just fall into place like a puzzle.
I think also being aware of that, it works with everything that you do in life, like with everyone you meet. Like, how do they, you come to realize that not everyone's like you, and what you do doesn't mean that they're going to do the same thing. Everyone's different. Everyone has their own way of speaking or acting and giving back. So that's a great way to, like, really understand yourself and the people around you.
I thought it was very helpful, so thanks for sharing.
No,
that.
Of course.
I think that was like 2.5-3 years ago almost, and it stuck
so
with
good,
me since. It was really,
and I think the other thing is, like, time is kind of this, it is a luxury, right? So when you have it, and, you know, I don't know when I'm going to be able to do that month and a half, because I did have to give up, for me to give a month and a half in North America, I had to give up a lot of work here, and which was hard to do as well, because again, like, the office bill, the rent, like, everything's still happening. But I made that decision consciously, and the other thing I did was, when I went there, I was just present. So if I had work calls, I would do them at 5 a.m., 6 a.m., 7 a.m., 8 a.m. Like, even if I had to wake up late, because I'd do them on Zoom, so it's not like anyone had to see me. I'd put, like, the little profile photo or whatever on. But, you know, I would crash for a little bit, and then I'd wake up, have breakfast with my parents, and it was just, it just, everything just fell into place, and it was just really about being present.
And do you think that experience is going to continue with you after experiencing that with your family, that being present and taking time?
100%. I think it made such a difference, and honestly, I just feel so blessed. You know, my mom's 80, and, you know, we hit that milestone together, and it was just really, like, I just wanted to treasure those moments. We did family photos, and it was so cute. You know, she has her walker and stuff, and, like, every time the photographer would take a picture, she'd, like, move the walker aside. She's like, okay, 1, 2, 3. And she'd stand there. And it was, like, super cute. She's like, I don't want anyone to remember me with this walker or the cane. And I was like, Mom, like, we love you. Like, no one cares about the cane, you know? But it was, like, these just moments where we got a family photo together with my, you know, nephews and all of us. And, we wouldn't have been able to do that unless kind of all of us made an effort to be there together.
So do you think, if I had asked you 3 years ago to take a month and a half off and go to Canada, would you have done that?
Never. I promise you, never. And honestly, the old me was stuck to, like, the BlackBerry or the phone, you know, like, just, I wouldn't miss a client call. I wouldn't, you know, if the email came in, I would respond right away. Like, I was just so, I just felt so much pressure back then, you know, having the responsibility of, like, the staff, the office, clients, all of that. And I just didn't know how to manage my time. And it really took over. I think now I'm just, I don't know, maybe it's when you get older, you just feel a little bit more comfortable and confident and really just learning how, like, I keep saying it, being present, but you don't realize how important that is to just really focus and be there at the moment.
Because your brain's going.
Your brain's going. Exactly.
And do you think this was something related to the world slowing down because of COVID, or is it something that you realized when you turned 40, which you absolutely
do
not
look
like?
Oh my God, I'm still in shock.
Thank
you. I'm borderline annoyed at how good she looks. So, which one what was the transformational moment for you to go from the old Rosamund who was constantly running to this?
I think it was two things. So, you know, I keep bringing back to 40 because it was a little aha moment for me. And I think, you know, my parents are Indian parents. Like, they don't know how to explain what I do, right? And so, like, my brother's in the creative field. I'm in the creative field. They wanted doctors and lawyers. Like, they were just like, where did we go wrong, you know? So I think one of the things was it was so hard to explain what I was doing for all these years, you know, for the past 20-something years. So when I was asked to speak at the UK Parliament, it was such a moment where, I speak all the time, and I've never been so nervous in my life, okay, to speak at Parliament, to write the speech, which was reflective of my existence from when I was born to the present day. So that was this moment where I had to actually be present and just kind of review what had happened. And so I think at that moment I was like, oh my God, Dad, like that was to me the gift I gave to my parents, going, you raised me, like you did something right. Like, I might not be a doctor or a lawyer, but I'm in Parliament speaking, like this is freaking crazy. Yeah. Like, I actually had this moment of like, this is crazy. And it was I was actually so sad my parents couldn't fly, because both of them were unable to for medical reasons, and they couldn't fly to London. But my brother flew in from LA. He landed at 10 a.m. at the airport, and 10 a.m. into London. I got him the hotel suite. He showered, and we were at Parliament by 11:30. And like, we just gunned it to the Parliament. I was so happy he was there for that moment. And so I think that was the first moment to just realize, like, you know, I'm okay. Like, you're kind of just always... you're always just running, right? Like, especially when you're a business owner, you're constantly just, it's like next thing after the other. There's always some sense of response.
And when is it enough?
When is it enough? So that was like a pivotal moment. And like, I just remember, like, after I was done speaking, I went back to the hotel and called my parents on Zoom, and I was just crying. Like, and my parents are crying. They're just like, we're so proud of you. And I think I just, even though they say it all the time, like, this was the moment my dad could literally relate to Yeah, it was just such a special moment, to be honest. And then the other fact was with COVID, I didn't like the idea that someone could tell me I can't travel. And I was so used to, you know, if there was like a 5-day holiday here, I would just literally go on Emirates on the app and book a flight and be like, hey, I'm coming for 4 days, see you. And like, I would just come see my parents for 4 days and leave. And that was kind of the perks of working for yourself, is that you can kind of change your schedule if you could. And so the idea of someone telling me, or government, I know it sounds crazy, but like the government telling you can't travel, the borders are closed, I'm like, God forbid if something happens, like, yeah. I don't want to regret it.
Yeah.
So the minute I had a chunk of time that I was able to really let go and just be like, I'm going to take the plunge and just do it, I booked and I literally just threw everything in a suitcase and I just went to Toronto, and it was the best decision.
Yeah. I think in a lot of ways, COVID has really taught us to reassess what really matters in life. Like, I know for me and you as well, it's become a kind of filtration process over what deserves my energy versus what doesn't deserve my energy. Because it's finite, right? Like, you don't have an infinite supply of energy to give to everything. Yeah. So I think...
And I think it also made us, because we have to slow down, it made us realize, hey, we've actually done quite a bit. Like, we're always, when you're a business owner, or entrepreneur, or whatever, you're always on, like you said, on the go, and you're just going for the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. You never actually stop to see, wait, I've come a long way.
Exactly.
Like, pat myself on the back. Like, I can relax a little bit, like, you know.
Because it's also, you create your own milestones. Mm. In a company, you have promotions and, you know, performance reviews, and you have markers to tell you whether you're doing well or not. But as a business owner, or, you know, an independent person, you have to create your own milestones. You have to create your own achievements. You have to be like, you know what? I did well. So that's the hardest part, I think.
And I always believe in rewarding myself. So when I do hit that goal, or I got a client, or I did a great project, I will reward myself. And that might be dinner with my girlfriends. I'll take them out, or I'll buy a pair of shoes or something. But honestly, when I wear those shoes, I wear them to death, because I'm like, I worked so hard for that pair. I'm going to enjoy them and wear them. And I think it's really important to celebrate your goals, and just to make sure you know that goalpost is always moving. Yeah. So enjoy it, you know, hit that milestone, enjoy it, reward yourself, reward your team, you know, and then move on.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
So, you know, you took a month off and you went to Canada and you took a breather and you came back to Dubai and hit the ground running. Yes. You're literally from the plane to Expo.
Yeah.
What's next for you? Where are you going? What path are you taking? What plans are
not that
up?
You need to. It's good to take some time. Yeah. But we know with everyone that's so ambitious, just like you, they're always had. There's something. The goal coming up.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, the next 3 months are you know, as you guys know, it's full on with events and brands, and people are trying to push new collections. It's an exciting time, obviously, autumn winter collection. So we're working with a lot of brands right now, just doing that right up till December before the holidays. And then I think in the new year, like what I've been looking at right now are just a few business plans, because I want some right now. My business is really around me. So it's either me being on stage or me filming, or, you know, we have the consultancy side, which is, you know, working with brands, but it is very much me being present. So I think going forward and planning my financial security going forward, I need to create a business that is not physically me. So as much as I have a team, at the end of the day, it's always me on stage, or, you know, me being attending an event or something. So yeah, right now I've just been looking at different business plans, and hopefully I think something, hopefully a light bulb moment will come that I want to do something. But yeah, I think that's the next plan.
That's a good plan to have, because there's only so much of you people can give them, you know, and then it's like, no, I like that. But this is something I've always actually wanted to ask you, because I know you're Rosamund. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is something I've always wanted to know. So I'm going to ask you this before we wrap this up. How does a day in the Rosamund's life look? Because you're always so polished, so gorgeous, and then you're doing all these things and super successful. And someone like you really do inspire someone like me.
So I
would love
girls.
To know
Thank
like
you.
What your day consists, like when you wake up and what do you do? Because like,
yeah, I know, like Rosamund just comes across as someone who has their ish together.
Oh my god, you know,
right? Love you. Well, first of all, I'm going to your salon. We're going to snob and getting all glammed up. So let's plug that in, because your team is amazing there. You know, a day in the life of Rosamund is never the same. I do wake up at around 5:36.
Yes.
And that's kind of when I pray, and it's kind of like my meditate, pray, whatever you want to say, but I don't put a time on it. So my body just naturally wakes up at that time, because I've been doing it for so long. And if I pray and meditate for 20 minutes, great. If it lasts for 5, great. I never force myself, because I just think when you want to kind of be in tune with yourself and the higher up, it kind of, you can't force it. So but my body automatically wake. Like even if I have the latest night, it'll still wake up, and then I kind of fall back asleep again. And when I wake up in the morning, I literally just turn the phone over. I just scan to see if there's anything urgent. Or if there's anything I need to coordinate or something, then I kind of just do that first thing in the morning. Otherwise, like a tea or coffee, breakfast. But no 2 days are ever the same. Like when I look at this week, it's literally, you know, doing fittings, going through my script, you know, working with the Harper's team, making sure everything's in line for this week. So there's nothing ever the same. Mm. Like last week I was just at Expo pretty much every day for openings of pavilions and the opening. And it's just such an exciting, it's an exciting time. And I like having something fresh and new all the time.
I think that, that's not the word. What's the word? I'm going to edit this out. like not being, oh my God, I've lost my word.
What is that in Farsi?
That's the worst thing to ask. I wouldn't even know that. When it's different every day.
Yeah.
How do you say that?
Variety.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Okay, so having that variety every day, it gets you going, right?
It gets me going. And you know what I love about my friends as well is like, you know, all my friends know I work. So like some days I can be like, you know, they'll be like, let's meet for lunch. And I'm like, great. Like I have whatever, the afternoon off, or other times they'll be like, yeah, I can like pop in for an hour just to see you guys, but I'm going back. Or like I love that as well, because I think when you have a really good network and a good system, those girls are always, they'll have your back, because you need a little bit of time to just literally just be with your friends and turn off and laugh a little. And so, you know, again, as you get older, you start realizing who your real crew is and who are the ones that are like cheerleading you on. And so my friends are super awesome, and they're always like that. They're like, listen, we're grabbing lunch, like if you want to come. And I'm like, yeah, cool. Like, or we're grabbing tea or coffee or we're doing breakfast in the morning. And I'm like, cool. Like, if I can do it, I will, just to have a little bit of a change of scenery and laugh and not talk about work. And so, yeah.
That's great. Like that. Yeah. Surround yourself by, you know, people who uplift you.
You have
so
to.
Important. Yeah. I agree.
You have to.
But this was great.
Thanks for having me.
I feel very inspired.
Yes, I'm inspired by both of you.
Incredible. By the way, she looks incredible.
Yeah, she always does.
She's wearing a Gucci play suit in pink for October.
Legs for days.
Love you, girls. Love you, girls.
But thank you so much, Rosamund, for taking time. We loved having you.
Thank you. And thank you for sharing stories of people. I've been listening to your other podcasts, and it's so nice to hear from different peers and what everyone goes through, because I think people think that life is easy and it's not. It's not on Instagram.
It's not on Instagram.
But thank you for sharing this platform and thanks for having me, girl.
Thank you for coming in today. This was such a fun episode. Really, I feel so charged and energetic now.
I'm excited. Thanks. Thank you so much, Rosamund.
Thank you. I think our cats have to do a play date.
Yes, we're going to do that soon. I'm booking
We're going to get you a cat.